for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and thank you everybody out there for being here. It's going to be an interesting show from a couple of standpoints. Today we may have some new listeners this morning, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But for those of you, whether you're new or old-timers, the same number to be on the show with me, and I'd love to have you come in and visit on whatever topic you want to. Questions, complaints, tips are fine, and the telephone number is 1-866-444-3478. Unbelievable weather here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We set a record the other day for the earliest killing frost. It was a record in some way. I don't know if it was the earliest date or the lowest temperature at that date or what, but it set some kind of a record, and we had a killing frost. It killed the tomatoes that I still had in the vegetable garden that I didn't bother to cover. And I've talked to a lot of gardeners around town, and other plants have had a little bit of injury. Nothing serious, nothing overall that's a problem. If you put out some real tender things that can't take any frost at all, you probably had some damage, but the cool season stuff was all fine. We're always doing casual things, you know, and trying to see what we can get away with so we learn more. I had a great week, too, from the standpoint of a visit down in San Antonio. Some of you that listen to my visit with Bob Webster on his show every Saturday morning, we sometimes do it at 7, but usually it's at 8, depends on whether I have personal appearance or some golf event that starts early. But we usually visit about 30 minutes. And this week I got to go down to San Antonio and visit with Bob and his business partner, Roberta, down there. Bob and I traveled around on his ranch and looked at some really interesting things. And if you haven't seen them, some of the pictures yet, I don't have near enough up on Facebook for you yet, but I've got some of the most important ones. In fact, one of the main reasons that I went down there was to see his big Lacey oaks, or Lacey's oak. They are wild on his ranch. He's got about 300 acres down there near Bernie. And they have a very distinctive flair. One of the people that, one of the listeners, readers that commented about one of the photographs I've already put up, wondered if it was a canker rather than a flare. It's a really strange swelling at the base. Since it's on almost all the trees, or it is on all the trees to some degree, it probably is just an unusual trunk flare on these large and somewhat elderly Lacey's oaks. But it may not be, because some of the red oaks in the area had the same kind, or had a similar kind of swelling at the base. So it's something we're going to look into a little bit more. The trees seemed very healthy, had some unusual groupings of things there. And so we'll cover that. I already have a little bit on the on Facebook. Facebook is Howard Garrett, Dirt Doctor. You can probably get there by doing Howard Garrett or Dirt Doctor, either one. But it, we've changed it. It used to be the Dirt Doctor Howard Garrett. So it's a little bit easier to find our Facebook now. The other thing we put pictures of from Bob's ranch was what he's doing with what's called exclosures. And for those of you that have any acreage at all, it's a great tip. You need to take a look at it. It's pretty simple, but the way he's doing it, and he got the tip from one of the wildlife experts down there in that area. What he's doing is he's building basically berms, or these lines of trimmed ash juniper, the cedar, the mountain cedar that's on his property, that had in some cases taken over, you know, become kind of a monoculture, which has happened to a lot of acreage around the state and around the South. And what he did was he built these exclosures, start off with a kind of a small one, and you make a ring, or you can do a great big rectangle or whatever shape you want. and you completely close in the area inside of this long pile of cedar. In this case, cedar is probably the best thing to use, because if you have too much cedar, it's really a problem from a water standpoint on the property and all that. No, under no circumstances should you be removing all the cedar from your property, where it's in crags and arroyos and rough places and this and that, and not interfering with what you're trying to grow elsewhere. It ought to stay there. It's a good part of the biodiversity of your place. But what happens when you set up these exclosures, it keeps the cattle out, which Bob has and a lot of people do, or any kind of livestock, but it also keeps deer out. Deer won't climb over a big pile of cuttings from a tree, because their little thin legs and hoofs sink down. They just won't do it. And if you make it high enough where the deer can't see what's on the other side, in other words, you don't need to make it more than 5 or 6 feet high. His, in a lot of cases, were higher, because you'll get some settling. They won't jump it either. And he does some real clever things, and I put pictures on Facebook about the gateways he builds. He builds a gateway with the branches of the cedar, the butts going toward the opening, sloping up, and then he fills that gate with limbs laying down, so it's sealed, but it's real easy to pull them off, so you can walk in and get into the grasses and the wildflowers and the brush that's starting to regrow, because it's not being overgrazed anymore. The other thing that happens with this technique, and you can tell I'm a big fan of it, I've always recommended piling cedar up into piles, but I didn't know about this enclosure kind of technique. But you're taking an area that has been totally open to grazing for too long, and or the coverage of the cedars, and you're creating a situation where biodiversity just roars back. And then under the cedar, you see things starting to grow, vines and perennials and grasses and forbs starting to grow under the piles, plus the piles as they're breaking down. First thing that happens is all the leaves die and fall to the ground, so that's great mulch for those areas. And then as the cedar decays slowly over a period of time, you hold a perfect environment there and for the soil to build, for biological activity to come back, and for new species, wind blows seed in, some seeds are already there, it just has a new environment, so it'll start to grow again. Anyway, that was cool stuff. Take a look at that on our website. This hour, by the way, is brought to you by Chia Omega, the great new omega-3 fatty acid product from the people that bring you the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Also, the Medina products and Black Cow. We have a lot of other supporters as well, but those I wanted to specifically mention as we get started here. There's a cute little dog on our website you need to check out. Now, from last week, Monopoly's still waiting for his forever home. So please go to our website, dirtdoctor.com, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and take a look at Monopoly, who is still looking for a home. And luckily, the others have been adopted. Buddy and Speedy from before that were adopted, so thank you for that. But this week's dog is Lucas, a handsome 1-year-old, 17-pound Chihuahua Terrier mix. In other words, he's about the same size as our little Tater, except he has short, blonde, really pretty blonde fur, blonde and tan. Blonde and white. He's got a white chest, chocolate eyes. Lucas has a big smile with handsome pearly whites. He's energetic and fun-loving and is looking for a family that would like to play fetch. And his other favorite games, he likes to run, likes belly rubs, as most dogs do. He's been neutered, tested for heartworms, negative, microchipped, dewormed, and received his age-appropriate vaccinations. Hope not too many. So check out Lucas. Okay, what else do I need to do before we get into my irritating of people on Facebook? Let's see. I guess that's it. I, as you know, we're getting more and more involved in Facebook. I don't do Twitter very much because I hadn't quite figured out how it could be that helpful to people. But on Facebook, it has become a great tool because I can put photographs there. You'll see a whole bunch of new photographs I put on there just yesterday and various related subjects. And I go and look at what some of the other people are saying from time to time. And I especially look at some people that don't necessarily agree with us because a lot of times they'll say something that I need to respond to and clear up and give people the proper information. And that happened in a big way. This I noticed on somebody else's site. Quote, keep fallen leaves picked up off your lawn. They harbor insects and especially diseases in the dark environment. We'll chat about this at length right after this. Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
You've planned, packed, paid, and are counting down the days. Whether it's a trip of a lifetime or a weekend getaway, don't risk ruining your hard-earned vacation by neglecting to protect your health. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist, and I'm often asked how to prevent illness when traveling. I recommend packing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as the best defense against traveler's tummy. The convenient, travel-friendly blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics used various strains of live beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, so it helps reduce the risk of getting traveler's diarrhea caused by foodborne bacteria. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro, and Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Order today and receive their special offer or buy one, get one free. Call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. Order today. Buy one, get one free. That's 877-655-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. My tea is my usual ginger-based tea this morning with a few of my own herbs thrown in for good measure, but I left my cup out in the car, so I'm not enjoying it yet. I need to slip down there at the next break. Anyway, going back to this comment that was made, and I've heard this before, actually, but this was kind of the most blatant way of putting it, I guess. And it was, again, quote, keep fallen leaves picked up off your lawn. They harbor insects and diseases, especially diseases in the dark environment. Well, I made a comment. You can see exactly what I said on Facebook, but the comment was some people considered and probably was a little rude. I didn't make it at any individual. I said anyone who makes such a statement is in that category. And so we need to talk about this whole thing. And for those of you that get our newsletter, you know that we do a newsletter from time to time on leaf management. It's a very important thing to understand, and it's pretty basic. A couple of the people that objected to what I said that I took it out of context, that this person also said that you should that you shouldn't burn, the leaves shouldn't go to the landfill, and they shouldn't be left on top of the grass. I really didn't take it out of context. Those points were made at the end of his recommendations and not the primary recommendation at all. The primary recommendation is to pick them up and then go do something with them, and that's my problem. Saying that leaves are a vector of disease in insects is asinine. That's all it is. I mean, leaves are nature's, God's tool. The tree grows green leaves to produce food for the tree, and then at the end of the season, those leaves are thrown down, allowed to fall to the ground to be food for the soil, carbon, and trace minerals and all kinds of good things. A couple of people have mentioned, well, what do you do about diseased leaves? Well, same thing. You put diseased leaves into the turf. You don't pick them up. You run the mulching mower over them. That's my problem. That's the first recommendation that should be made always, is that the leaves should be mulched into the grass. Now, we have a little different situation at our house because we don't have any grass except in the backyard in one small place, where we still do that. But that doesn't mean that you can't mulch the leaves. You do it on the driveway. And I'm kicking myself a little bit because our guys were over there yesterday. The company that maintains, does the mowing and edging and everything was over there yesterday. And first of all, we leave the leaves in the beds as much as we can. When you're blowing them, some of them, blowing them out to grind them and mulch them, so they're not covering the top of the small plants, which we do recommend. Some of them get blown out, but a lot of them are left right in place or raked out for people that use rakes, which is a better way to go. So we put the leaves, if we don't have enough grass, out in the driveway, and we mow them with a mower in the driveway. What that does is pretty interesting because it reduces the volume by about 90%. It really cuts the size down tremendously, 70 to 90%, just like when you compost raw materials, there's a reduction of somewhere between 65 and 75%. You have that first reduction when you take leaves that are light and fluffy and you mow them, they go into a much smaller volume. You take that volume and throw it back out to cover bare soil, just like nature would have done it if you weren't there. The only reason you're going to the trouble of grinding them up is that they're blowing all over the place, and in some cases the leaves without being ground will cover up ground cover and cover up small annuals and perennials and things. And if you completely cover up the plants and shade them out, that's a different issue. That's not saying that the leaves are vectors they're creating insect problems and disease problems. That's not the case at all. There's nothing better for the soil and the plants than the leaves, the foliage, whatever the leaves are. I'm amused every year because I get questions, and some of these come from university people, which is really bizarre. And that is that oak leaves shouldn't – I get this question, should oak leaves be left on the ground? I've heard that they're too acid and they'll foul up the soil and hurt your plants. And I hear the same thing about cedar. And I hear universities in this state say that cedar mulch can be a problem. Well, just like I told you what was going on Bob's Ranch in San Antonio, those big mounds and the mulch that he uses and the mulch that's created by those mounds of piles – are in his case are 100% cedar, and they do nothing but build the soil and help biodiversity and grow plants. Well, it's the same thing on the question about oak leaves and cedar changing the pH of the soil and being a problem. If that were a problem, the forest would be in real trouble, wouldn't they? Because out in the forest, the leaves fall, and they stay right where they fall. We're doing that in landscaping, or we're recommending that in landscaping, as opposed to this other recommendation. But we're modifying it just a little bit so that we don't cover up and smother plants, and we get the ground-up mulch, a finer textured that we've mulched with our mower, either mulched directly into the lawn. And those of you with plenty of lawn, you can get rid of 100% of your leaves that way, and it's by far the best way to go. Can you overdo it? It's pretty tough to. It would be overdone if you mulch the leaves and mulch them and mulch them and mulch them over the period of weeks that we're going to be dealing with leaves. Those of you in the north have already been dealing with this for several weeks. But at the point where the leaves completely cover the lawn and smother it, that would be a problem. You don't want to do that. But to fill it up completely so you just see the grass coming through, that's a great thing. A little more on this, and then go to your phone. So give me a call, 866-444-3478.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Thousands of Filipinos, many still homeless and grieving lost loved ones after a killer typhoon, attended church services today. The country's president has visited the hardest-hit areas, the death toll about 4,000. China has decided to increase its originally meager generosity by offering to send rescue and medical teams to the Philippines. More than a week after the typhoon, China's original pledge was less than $2 million. The Navy says two sailors were treated for minor burns after their guided missile cruiser was struck by an errant drone aircraft. The accident on the USS Chancellorsville happened yesterday. And the UN says the exodus of Syrians is in the thousands from border towns where a high-stakes battle is raging. They've walked across valleys and ridges to reach safety in towns in neighboring Lebanon. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159. That's 1-800-345-2159. 1-800-345-2159.
Well, that's for sports. I'm Patrick Foss. There are no unbeaten teams left in the NBA after Chicago downed Indiana 110-94. Bulls guard Derrick Rose with 20 points was asked about ending the Pacers' season-opening nine-game winning streak.
We were just trying to come out here and win the game. We really didn't talk about the streak or whatever. It was something where we lost to them last time, and we were just trying to pay them back.
Miami beat Charlotte 97-81. The Heat's sixth victory in seven games. It was Atlanta 110-New York 90. The Knicks suffered their fifth straight home loss. Kyrie Irving scored 9 of his 41 points at overtime in Cleveland's 103-96 win over Washington. It was Dallas 108, Orlando 100, Minnesota 106, Boston 88, Houston 122, Denver 111, New Orleans 135, Philadelphia 98, Oklahoma City 92, Milwaukee 79, the Clippers 110, Brooklyn 103, Golden State 102, Utah 88. Top 25 action saw 9th-ranked Syracuse beat Colgate 69-50 and 10th-ranked Ohio State down number 17 Marquette 52-35. Marquette coach Buzz Williams.
When you play this caliber of a game in the first week of the season, I do think you learn a lot about your team.
This is Esser in Sports. In the NHL, it was New Jersey adding Pittsburgh their fourth loss in six games, 4-1. The New York Rangers picked up their eighth win in 11 games, 1-0 over Montreal. Toronto beat Buffalo 4-2. It was the Islanders in a shootout over Detroit 5-4. St. Louis 4, Carolina 2. Nashville 7-2 over Chicago. Phoenix 6, Tampa Bay 3. Florida 4, Colorado 1. Edmonton 4-2 over Calgary. Matt Kenseth has the poll for today's season-ending Sprint Cup race at Homestead Miami Speedway. He's 28 points behind Jimmy Johnson, leading into the finale. Johnson qualified 7th and needs to finish 23rd or better to win his 6th title. Johnson says he can't take anything for granted today.
Even though we have a nice points lead, you can't count on anything going like it did last year. Other years, you know, you have to come in and run and stay in the present and run the 400 miles. You can't just, it's not a layup. You can't just think that things are going to go as they always have.
Kevin Harvick will start in the third row, and he's the only other driver mathematically eligible to win the title. He's 34 points behind Johnson. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
.com.
All righty, Howard back with you. Telephone number to be here is 866-444-3478. Jump on if you want to talk about anything. It's 1-866-444-3478, toll free from anywhere. Got a little bit more to talk about on this first issue and then one more, but we'll work in your calls whenever you're ready to chat. Another couple of comments that was in this tip, this missile that I objected to was this, quote, too many leaves, talking about mulching leaves into grass. He was saying that there would be too many leaves for a mulching mower in a lot of cases. That's just not the case. Back before we had too much shade and we had grass, a lot more grass than we do now, we would mulch all the leaves in the turf areas, every bit of it. And where it got so thick it completely covered the grass, we simply raked that material, that part of the ground up leaves up, and went around and dispersed them in the beds and where there were no leaves. So we ended up having the leaves in a finer texture put all throughout the property in the beds around the plants, but not covering it and smothering it. There's never too many leaves to mulch them all in the grass. You just might end up with a little bit more volume than you need there, and you rake that part up, which is a whole lot simpler because, like I said, the volume has been greatly reduced at that point, and you move that material to the beds and that sort of thing. The very last thing that you do is put it in the compost pile, And that tended to be one of the first recommendations in this article. I don't think that they ought to go in the compost pile because it's a waste of time. You take the time to bag them, move them to the compost it down to where it's a usable material, whatever stage that is for you. And then what do you do with it? You move it back to the grass in the bed. So why do that? Why take that step? Mulch it into the turf, excess, put in the beds, excess, any excess from that, yeah, you can finally put in the compost pile. And I have some I have a big, long compost pile that functions as erosion control, too, that a lot of ours go into, and that's fine. But just picking them up raw and throwing them into that area is not a good thing to do because you're going to end up with a giant pile that's going to be hard to manage, and it's going to take longer to break down and build the soil and be helpful to you. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. If you want to see the newsletters that we've written about this subject, and we'll probably do another one here right away and do an update. But if you go into dirtdoctor.com and hit the newsletter button and then go through the past ones, you have to hunt around a little bit. We don't have things in as good an alphabetical order as we will have sometimes in the near future. But you can find those that we've already done, and then we'll do an update for you as well. The other thing I wanted to comment along the same lines from people making comments and giving advice that I don't agree with, this recently showed up, quote, exposing flares can be carried too far. And this was accompanied by a photograph of a crepe myrtle flare that was pretty high out of the ground, and there was a damaged place on it. And there was a suggestion, I guess, a pretty strong one, that having this flare real high is what caused that issue. That doesn't ever happen. The truth is that a trunk flare can never be overexposed. We've overexposed some things on what some people would consider overexposing some flares on purpose at my house. You've probably seen the photographs on the website and on Facebook. A big live oak and a big ginkgo, we dramatically exposed the flare because I wanted to see if there were exactly what was suggested here, any negativity to it at all. And there wasn't, none at all. Even when you go so far that you go down into root tissue, that root tissue converts to bark as soon as it's exposed to air and, in some cases, sunlight. If you did it where it was a brand-new tree and it had southern exposure or western exposure, you know, immediately in the heat of the summer or something, could you get sunburn? Yeah, sure, of course you could. You have to use common sense. Just like a new tree that came from a nursery that's grown too crowded and you take it out and plant it by itself where it gets direct sun, it can get sunburned. So you don't want to do anything like that. But when you expose the flares properly at the proper time of the year, and you're not going to create something where it gets scalding, blazing sun in a place that it's not used to, there's nothing negative that'll come from it. The damage in the photograph I saw came from a lawnmower or a weed eater hitting the tree. It didn't have anything to do with the flare being exposed. I guess one of the best ways to explain this is that a plant can't be too high, that can't be, have too much of the flare exposed, is this. If you take a tree from a nursery, from a container or balled and burlapped, either one, and set it on top of the ground and rake the soil away from it so the flare is nice and exposed, and then just build up mulch up to it or soil, either one, and keep it watered so it doesn't dry out, it will love that situation. It will grow there beautifully. You see nursery stock all the time that's left in place in the nursery too long in containers or balled and burlap. It roots into the ground and does great. In fact, when people have left trees in a place too long, it's very difficult to move them sometimes because they've rooted into the ground so much. So it's one of the things that is pretty much impossible to do, is to have too much of a flare showing. We had one person that sent me a photograph. It came the closest to it of any I've ever seen. I can't remember if it was a pecan tree or an oak tree of some kind. He had exposed the flare himself, sent me pictures, and I said, well, you need to do a little bit more, because if it's just slightly flaring at the ground, that's not enough. It needs to flare dramatically so you can literally step on it. It's going out horizontally, and then that way you get rid of all the troublesome girdling, circling and girdling roots, the bird's nest roots that are trying to grow up for air and all that kind of thing. But this person went to the next step, and he exposed the flare so much that there was air below the crown of the plant, and the roots were going over through the air almost. The tree would have lived and done fine in that situation, but yeah, that's probably going just a little bit too far. Okay, any questions about that, let me know. I forgot to tell you, too, when you call in today, you'll talk to Matt. If you let him know that you're interested in receiving some free inland sea oats seed from our gardens, just let him know and give him your address. We've been sending out quite a few this week, and if you want some, or if you got some, free from joining the Organic Club of America and you want some more, call in. We'll be glad to send you more. We've got plenty. I haven't even harvested it all yet. We've got so much of the inland sea oats. And what it is a native grass to this part of the world. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's native here. It is an extremely densely crowned plant. It develops a crown in the ground that is one of the best tools I've ever run into for helping solve an erosion problem. If you've got an area where you want to plant something that's going to get really dense and eliminate an erosion problem that was in the area, this is your best choice. It'll grow in full sun. It likes kind of filtered light and a little bit of shade better. And it will grow in some fairly heavy shade. It's not quite as thick. It doesn't grow as thickly in the heavy shade as it does if it gets some sunlight. Probably the ideal situation for it is like a lot of the plants that we talk about here, morning sun and afternoon shade. But I've seen it grow in full sun. I've seen it grow in heavy shade. Once it's established from the seed that we'll give you, It forms little seedling plants that can be transplanted very easily. Once it grows into that dense crown at the base like I'm talking about and starts to mature and lock in place, you can dig it out and remove it. It's fairly shallow, and so it's not real hard to dig out in clumps, and then those clumps can be separated and moved and planted into a larger area. And you'll have a big stand of it before you know it. Some people, in fact, one of our listeners up in Pennsylvania suggested that it grows so well that it's considered an invasive plant in some areas. And she suggested that was the case near where she lives. So do be aware of that. If you grow it and it has seed heads, which it will, very decorative. You can look on dirtdoctor.com or in my books, either one, and see what it looks like. Seed heads are very decorative, and I sometimes cut them and use them in arrangements inside the house. They'll last for a long time if you cut them before they completely mature and start fracturing, you know, and falling off. But the seed that do fracture and fall to the ground are the ones that you get that you buy or you get from us and you plant, they will germinate 100% of them. 100% of those little seed will germinate for you. And if they become a problem in an area, you simply in the spring when they start to pop up, just like elm seedlings do all over properties where there are American elms and cedar elms and various kinds of elms, you have to pull those little seedlings out, but they're very easy to do. Or throw some mulch down all over the top of them. That's an easy way to kill the elm seedlings. I don't know if that would be a good enough way to kill the inland sea oats because it's so tough, but it would certainly be one way you could try. So let me see what else we need to talk about. The some of the questions, one of the questions coming in that I want to address on the air, and I'm going to address it in writing too for a fellow that came to Facebook and asked me about what trees would work well in out in El Paso and in the western part of the state out in West Texas. We've done some landscaping out there. In fact, I went to school at Texas Tech, so I've got some experience with trees. Where that had all started was me making a comment on Facebook. I took a picture of some beautiful Chinese pistachio yesterday and made a comment that I'm not recommending it as highly as I used to, and you may want to consider planting it because it has now been put on the invasive species list in several parts of the country. And so the question came, okay, that's one of the plants I was using in West Texas. What can I do instead? We'll talk about that and other things. 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
At Natural Organic Warehouse, you get more than just affordable products for your farm, landscapes, ranch, or home. You also get practical field-based advice on how to best solve problems. That's because we're growers too. It's our advice that sets us apart from other product providers. Get the products and the advice you need by visiting naturalorganicwarehouse.com or call us at 888-998-9669. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com, 888-998-9669. Better, cleaner, sustainable choices.
You already know how great all-natural Crazy Water is to drink, but now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse which is located in historic mineral wells, and it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water, so good it's crazy.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow. Manure, black cow.
If you want the best looking grass in the neighborhood, top dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. I was looking at the Facebook, some interesting questions about the cedar exclosures on Bob's ranch. One question was, will it keep wild pigs out? And Bob and I talked about that. And, yeah, it will help to a degree with them. They're a little more rambunctious about tearing things up, and you might have to make the mounds of cedar a little bigger if you have a problem with the boars, with the wild pigs, wild hogs. And the other question was about, is it a fire danger? And where it's been used, Bamberger on his ranch in Texas and several other people that I know, I've gotten to leave their cedar on the ground. Sometimes in the past, I've just recommended grinding it and leaving it on as a sheet flat on the ground. But it ends up being in huge drifts and piles here and there. This was before I learned about this exclosure is the term. And I've never heard from anybody that's a fire danger in any way. When you're using the cedar in basically a mulch form, there's moisture being preserved there under it and everything, and that's probably the reason why nobody's ever reported that being a fire problem. To the phones, Laurie in Garland, Texas, first up. Hello, Laurie.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a question for you about the – you just mentioned that inland sea oats, and I've actually never heard of it before, but we have an area under our tree. We just live in a neighborhood that doesn't grow – the St. Augustine won't grow under there because of all the shade. And but when I looked online at that inland sea oats, it looks kind of like a taller growing. This is not something you would put in your yard, I'm guessing.
Oh, right? Yeah, I have it all over the place. It's a really pretty perennial. I have it growing underneath. We have nothing but trees at our place, so I have it growing with the wood fern and the holly fern and various kinds of things in the shady areas. I have it along the fence. My colorful Joseph's coat fence that we had a lot of controversial talk about on the on Facebook some time ago. It's the base planting for the fence. It's the only thing there. So I think it's very decorative. It grows to about 2.5 feet tall.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It looks like a short bamboo is what it looks like. It's a very pretty grass, and then the seed heads in the fall are, quite nice to look at.
We wouldn't mow it. You would just leave it and then cut it back in the fall or something?
Cut it back one time, that's right. You can cut it back in the fall after you harvest the seed or do whatever you're going to do with the seed. Or you can leave it all winter. It'll be golden. Some people like that appearance, with the various grasses. And then cut it back down to the ground, to the crown in the spring, so that the new growth. And the new growth tends to start coming up before it gets real hot. So you have to kind of keep an eye on it, and you'd probably do it in late January or early February, something like that. It's management's pretty simple on it, unless you're letting the seed heads fracture and scatter into areas where you don't want them. And that's easy to manage by cutting them off or doing, something else with them other than letting them totally mature on the plant.
So you're saying it may invade the St. Augustine is what you're saying?
No, out in the turf area, your mowing would kill it out. It can't take, okay. It can't live in that situation.
So what did you just say you had to do in January, though? I'm sorry, I didn't quite
just cut it back. Just use clippers and cut it back to the ground.
Okay.
And
if you leave it.
And toss that material in the compost pile. Or
okay.
You can grind it up and do with it like we were talking about the leaves. Either way you want to go.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Inland sea oats. It's what we're talking about. If you didn't get it, it's inland, I-N-L-A-N-D, inland sea oats. And it sometimes spells sea oats one word, sometimes it's spelled two words. Either way is acceptable. The common names are like that. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Here's Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. I'm interested in finding out about in your yard. I've talked to several people on some various things to use for getting rid of ringworm. My dog picked up some ringworm. And I took him to the vet and spent about $600 to get rid of it, and now it seems like it may be coming back again. So apparently it's in the yard, and I don't know exactly what to use to get rid of it. Do you have any ideas?
I certainly do. We talked about this last week with somebody from your area. It must be kind of common there. Ringworm is the same little microscopic beast as toenail fungus and athlete's foot. It's in that same kind of grouping. Cornmeal will kill it, Jerry. You can put whole ground cornmeal out in your yard like a fertilizer. Put it out about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. We first learned about this when one of our listeners called and told me how he and his wife had cured toenail fungus. They simply put cornmeal in warm water and let it sit for a while and soak their feet in it and cured it. We have people by the thousands all around the country now that are putting cornmeal in their socks and their boots when they go out and work in the field to soaking in it for various things. Some people put it in the dog's bath as a soak to help with various kinds of skin problems. And you can broadcast the cornmeal on your site to help take care of the organism there.
Would it be a type of thing that you could buy like at the feed store?
Feed store is where you'll get a good price on whole ground cornmeal. Some of the garden centers and nurseries carry it, but the feed stores could absolutely get it for you because it's used, as part of various animal feeds. But use just straight, pure ground cornmeal.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. I appreciate your help.
I appreciate your call. Let me know how it works for you. It should work very well. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We've got a friend visitor coming up talking about the best equipment for maintaining your property there is. I'll be back right after this.